What's up, guys? Hello, and welcome to Fight Picks with the Pros. My name is Garrett Marchesano, and today we're going to review four fights on the upcoming UFC 264 pay-per-view event featuring Dustin the Diamond Poirier versus Conor the Notorious McGregor in the main event. Today, I'm joined by, as always, Season 18 Ultimate Fighter Champion, Chris Holds It Down Holdsworth.
Yes, sir.
Let's go!
Introducing Fight Picks with the Pros, brought to you by FanDuel.
All right. First fight we have up here is Sugar Sean O'Malley coming in as the heaviest favorite on the card at minus 900 versus Chris Mountiago. Mountiago?
Is this a replacement fight or what?
At plus 590. So Smolka, Luis Smolka, is out of the bout.
What happened?
And I don't know the exact reason. He had an injury in camp. And they were looking for a late-minute replacement. All these guys spoke up, a lot of great fighters. I thought it was going to be Ricky Simon at one point and a few other guys. They ended up bringing this guy in who is not on the UFC roster. He's 9-4. He lost his last two out of four.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Hey, let's bring somebody in so Sugar Sean can get another KO.
Yeah. So, of course, that's what, you know, we had this debate last time reviewing the fight. Is he getting tuna cans? Smolka was, you know, he has some BJJ behind him. He has decent striking. He comes to fight. Yeah. He has a lot of experience. I was hoping they were going to book someone on the UFC roster. So this is a little last minute. But it's obviously a huge favorite towards Sean O'Malley. He's the biggest favorite on the card. That's for a reason. And, you know, it is definitely a build-up fight. But let's quickly go over as we do. We got Sugar Sean O'Malley, 13-1, 9 TKOs, 1 sub. You know, he's coming off that big win against Thomas Almeida, TKO victory. His striking looked clean. We all know he had some ankle problems. That's how he got TKO'd by Marlon Vera. He had some ankle problems in the previous fight. He even stumbled in the fight against Almeida with his ankle. So it seems to be a problem in every single one of his fights. So hopefully he fixed that. But he won his last 4 out of 5. He has 8 first-round finishes. We know he's the guy with the swag. He's got the KO power. He attracts. He's got the record for Contender Series views. Yeah. Welcome to the Sugar Show. It's real famous. So first, Sean O'Malley. Overall, what do you think about Sean, the undefeated fighter, coming into this? His mentality and getting his short notice replacement.
Yeah, it's great. He's got a short notice replacement, and he's got a 4-inch reach advantage. This guy's coming off of 2 losses.
He's coming off of 2 wins.
Oh, 2 wins.
Previous
sorry,
he lost 2. So he lost 2.
I've never heard of this guy, Chris Montanino, Rivera Athletic Center he's training out of. Never heard of them either. So this seems like it's going to be some easy work for Sean. Seems like he's going to be able to use some of his new techniques and maybe try out some new techniques. Yeah. And if he's lucky, he might get something flashy and spinny and KO this guy with something really cool. And the UFC is smart. They know the style Sean has, and they want to see the flashy.
They want to see all that.
Imagine they're just giving him somebody like, hey, we want to see some of that flashy shit. Hey, Sean, we're going to give you somebody. Let me see some of that spinning shit. We're going to give you one per.
This guy only has 1 sub. But,
yeah,
you know.
Let me see some spinning shit, Sean, or else next time you're going to get someone. So I definitely got O'Malley on this one. I think he's going to have the better striking, and I don't think this guy's going to be able to get up, take him down or do anything. So 4-inch reach advantage. Sean's already got really good striking. He's gonna hit something flashy style and get a KO this time.
I completely agree. I think it's heavily for the KO finish by Sean O'Malley. He's going to have plenty of time. Like you said, he's got not only has the striking advantage, but he's got the huge reach advantage. I expect him to keep the distance, tag him up. He's going to go spinning back kick after spinning back kick is one of his favorite moves. I can see him throwing that 5 times in the first round. It could be bad. And on the other side, Chris, coming into his first UFC fight on the biggest main event card you could be on all year long. This is going to be the biggest pay-per-view, UFC 264.
And Sean's on the main card,
He's on the main card.
Yeah.
He's the first fight on the main card. It's going to be lights,
good
camera,
for Chris,
action.
Right? Yeah, this is a great opportunity for Chris.
So it's going to be, you know, we can expect over 2, you know, the expectations are over 1 million pay-per-view buys, right? That means there's going to be over 2 million people watching you fight, okay?
Yeah.
2 million plus. Every TV has, you know, many people watching it. So it's interesting for Chris. Let's take it as Chris. He's won his last two fights. He lost the two previous to that. It was by KO and by submission, so he's feeling good. He got prospected in the UFC for a reason, because he's aggressive. He's got management asking for it. He's coming off two wins. He's 9-4, coming from Cage Fury. He's got swag to him. He's got colored hair. He's got tats. For him, his team is thinking, let's come in here and steal the show. You know, lights, camera, action. We got Sean O'Malley. If we win this, everyone will know our name. We'll be the new guy in the UFC. He probably just signed a short-term contract, one fight, two fight. Let's get this to be a long-term contract. This is his time to steal the thunder. And if I was him, I would not try to stand, even though he's got three TKO wins and striking is part of his strength. I do not care. What is the best way to beat Sean O'Malley? Take him down, kick his ankle, kick his calf kicks. And I hope his team comes up with a good strategy, not to just stand and bang it out, to really have a true strategy to come in and beat Sean in this fight. So last thing before we move on to the next fight, if you were in Chris's corner, what would be your advice to him to take Sean out?
You know, exactly what you said. You know, you have no pressure. Yeah, it is your first UFC fight. Yeah, you are fighting on the biggest pay-per-view card of the year. Yeah, you are on the main card fighting Sean Sugar Show, you know, who's a big star. But like you said, maybe that brings out a certain Chris, you know what I mean? Maybe that brings out like a, he has nothing to lose. He goes in there and puts on a great performance and wins. He's gonna skyrocket, right? He goes in there, puts on a good performance and loses. The UFC might want to sign him and be like, man, that was entertaining. You brought the heat. Hey, we threw you to the dogs this first fight. Let's sign you to a three-fight contract now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's a win-win, unless he just goes out there and gets flatlined real easy. But if he puts on a great performance, I think he'll get signed, and there's always a possibility to win too. So I think that he has that for him.
Yeah, I think you're right. He has a lot of opportunity to win fans. If he just staggers Sean and loses by decision or barely gets subbed, I think I completely agree. The only way this goes really south for him is if he gets KO'd, because he'll instantly be cut. And it wouldn't look good. That would be a highlight.
He'd be like, thanks, dude. Forever. See you later.
Yeah, Sean would be like, thanks for the highlight reel.
Go win a couple more fights. Like, you're 9-5 now, which doesn't really look good.
Yeah, tough one. So at the end of the day, we're both going Sean O'Malley. It looks like we're both going Sean O'Malley by KO win. But, you know, in the back of my mind, a little bit in my heart, I'll be rooting for Chris a little bit to make it a show.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump on to the next fight. We got Ty Bam Bam Tuivasa coming in as the -144 favorite against Greg Hardy, coming in as a +120 dog. So this is going to be a great matchup. You got two power heavy hitters that bring it all. A lot of first round finishes between these two guys. Ty Tuivasa has 11 wins. 10 of them are by TKO. On the other side, Greg Hardy has 7 wins.
Yeah.
6 of them by TKO. So we all know what's going to happen in this fight. Both of these guys have one of the most ridiculous haymakers in the entire sport, which means with one heavy punch, they can put any guy away at any time. And they love to throw their big overhand right shots. So you're going to see that from both guys. Starting out with Ty Tuivasa, the guy that likes to drink beer out of his dirty, smelly shoe.
Baby.
this guy is crazy. He'll drink it out of his shoe, the other guy's shoe. He does it after every fight. It's a little disgusting, but he comes with the power. He's coming off of 2 straight wins, and this guy is always fun to watch. So first reaction, what do you think about Ty?
I just think the shoey. I think he's got 5-3 in the UFC. He's got 8 fights, so he's experienced for one. He's not the biggest heavyweight from what I remember, but he's got crazy KO power, and he throws heavy with every strike. Yeah. If I can remember, he was throwing a lot of leg kicks his last fight. Like, he's really heavy leg kicks and big hooks. But, you know, you got Greg Hardy, who's a 5-inch reach advantage, who's a former Pro Bowl defensive end.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like a huge dude. But as we talked about before, Hardy has always had trouble with putting everything together. And we mean by putting everything together, putting the strikes, putting the grappling, putting the conditioning, and he gassed out those last couple fights and was winning and then gassed out, and then, of course, he lost.
Yep.
So if he comes into shape, if he's working on the conditioning aspect of MMA, and he's learning how to not throw everything in every punch, put everything into every squeeze, I think he has the advantage there. But if we see the Greg Hardy that just goes out there and swings for the fences and gets tired in the second round, I see Ty Tuivasa slamming some shoeies afterwards.
No, I completely agree because Greg Hardy got – I'm always impressed with him. He's getting better every fight. His striking's getting more crisp. His takedown defense.
Yeah.
His cage control and grappling. It's like – he's beaten these, even in his loss, his last fight, he was beating Marcy Tybura round one, round two. He was just gassed. He was getting gassed. He's too tired. And that's same thing with all his losses. He's in the fights. He's even winning the fights. He just gets gassed out. So the thing you like to believe is that they know this is a problem again and again. And the camp has to say, hey, we need to work on your cardio. We can't have this heavy. He admitted that he heavily cuts down to make weight at heavyweight, which is 265 pounds.
That's Hardy, so, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He's closer to 300 pounds. Now, if he started lightening up, you know, ahead of camp and was in camp at like 280, 285, and then when he cut, it was a less of a burden on him. I'd like to see him come in light at like 255 or something. That's how you get that cardio going. So let's hope he's working on the cardio. Greg Hardy has kind of a wild personality, so I can see him just skipping it and being so confident in his power, etc. Hopefully, when you're fighting world-class guys like Ty and other guys, like he strives to do, to be in that. Those top five heavyweights, they can go to round three, round four, round five, and then you're talking five rounds, no problem. They'll put Hardy away every match. So he can't compete with those guys right now. So we'll see if his endurance changes, and I'm really excited about this fight. These guys are so similar in their style and their power, similar fight styles. They're going to stand and bang it out. No one's going for the takedown. So at the end of the day, Chris, how do you see this fight playing out? With Ty being the slight favorite coming this fight, pretty interesting. And both of the lowest lines are by KO. But I like that plus 310 for Hardy to get the KO. Looks like the odds makers think more likely on Ty's side at plus 155. More of the money's going that way.
Yeah, Greg needs to definitely slow down in that first round, not come out too crazy, and you start picking his shots, using that 5-inch reach advantage to his advantage. Like staying on the outside, not looking to, you know, wing him too hard, you know, to defend the low kicks, because I think Ty's going to look for those inside low kicks from that opposite stance. And, you know, Greg is orthodox, Ty is southpaw. I can see Ty throwing those rear inside low kicks to off balance Greg, and then maybe come in with some big hooks. You know, I'm going to pull for Ty just because I'm a fan of guys who put everything together and that have the conditioning to do so. Yeah. If you haven't shown me in previous fights that you can go past the second round, like, I just can't bet on that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the only chance you have is to finish somebody in the first round. And if he gets past the first round, like, I just can't bet on people like that. So I got Ty. I think Ty might even finish Greg Hardy. Like, once he gasses him out a little bit, maybe even in the second, third round, like, I see Ty getting on top and working getting some ground and pound.
TKO finish. Why Hardy's gasping for air on the ground. Yeah. Okay, I think that's a good pick. I think that's definitely the more likely and what the general population is thinking, too, looking at the lines. But I'm going to go with my guy, Greg Hardy. I'm a fan. Watched him on the Panthers. Okay, I was rooting for his career here, even though he's had some ups and downs. Like I said last time when I pick him, I'm hoping that he worked on that cardio in camp and we see him, you know... What was it? He brought the inhaler in a cage and was hitting the inhaler three fights ago. That was wild. But let's see him get some good cardio. I like that he's a powerful guy, six TKOs, and because they're giving that line at plus 310 for a KO win, I'm going Greg Hardy by KO. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, we're jumping on to the next fight, co-main event of the evening.
Nice.
We've got Gilbert Burns coming in as the plus 142 dog against Steven Wonderboy Thompson coming in as a minus 172 favorite. So these lines have spread out a little bit, getting closer and closer to the fight for Wonderboy Thompson to be the heavier favorite. So I don't know if that's they're seeing Wonderboy come in shape or as they're breaking down the fight, they see some holes. But this is set up to be a great, great matchup. Gilbert Burns has started off 19-4. You know, he's a big contender, number two in that welterweight divisions. We all know fought Kamaru Usman, was one punch away from being the champ, had him staggered.
Yeah.
That was just in February. He's a great fighter, 12-4 in the UFC. We know he's we just talked about him a little bit as the BJJ ace, and his stand-up game just keeps getting better and better and better. So starting with Gilbert Burns, what do you think about him coming into this fight? This seems like a number one contender bout. The one who wins this is going to be right up there with a chance for the title shot next. So on Gilbert's side, what do you think about his all-around game and his approach coming in to fight Wonder Boy?
I've been loving me some Gilbert Burns. He's constantly improving. You know, coming from a jiu-jitsu background, I watched him coming up in the ranks, and you know, he was always like a belt or two ahead of me. But you know, I watched him. He was winning worlds. He was winning a bunch of big grappling tournaments at the time, and I was like, man, this guy's really good. So when I saw him make the transition to MMA, I was like, oh man, he's got the kind of style for MMA. You know, that like, kind of like pit bull bulldog style of just coming forward, real hard pressure. And then when he started training with Samford and Henry Hooft, he started putting everything together, and his striking was looking better and better. And he's continuing to grow as a mixed martial artist, and he's fighting the top guys in the world. He's had title shots already. He's beaten some of the best guys. And, you know, I'm interested to see if he can figure out the Thompson puzzle. I saw that Gilbert was training with Raymond Daniels.
Yep. And Raymond, yeah, I get to that.
Yeah, Raymond was training with us for a while, and he's got that karate style, the same kind of style that Wonder Boy has. Yep. So, and Raymond said, you know, Gilbert's been picking it up, so I'm sure he's gonna have some tricks and figure out some things. But I think Steven and Raymond have different styles. Like, they have different, yeah, like, karate styles.
But Raymond's going to try to emulate Steven.
He was just trying to be a body to emulate.
So what is he saying to him? So for him, so he's going to do this Wonder Boy stance, and they're going to do some light sparring together. And so is he trying to show, is Raymond Daniels trying to show Gilbert Burns some, like, here's a feint to help you get on the inside on Wonder Boy. Here's a...
Yeah, so kind of pretty much what happens there is, like, he'll help him out with that stuff. Yeah. He'll try to emulate the person's fighting style as much as possible. I'm sure Gilbert paid him to come down, yeah, and like, hey, let's do this. But, you know, he's probably given some pointers to how to close the distance, how to take away certain weapons of Wonder Boy, and, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah. No, I think that was a good call. Okay, so on the other side, we have Steven Wonder Boy Thompson, 16-4, 7 TKOs. We know his style. He's the karate style on the outside. You know, 4-inch reach advantage. He already uses his reach to his advantage so well with that karate style stance, and he's got so much length with that front jab and that front quick calf kick he has. So we know that's going to be his style. He's coming off 2 straight wins against Luque and Jeff Neal, both some great fighters. He's a hard puzzle to figure out, Steven, yeah, Wonderboy Thompson. And I like the Raymond Daniels comparison. I like him bringing him into camp where Gilbert, you know, knows he's got to figure out this karate style stance. So on the other side, if you're Steven Wonderboy Thompson coming in with a guy like Gilbert Burns, who is dangerous on the feet, you don't want him to take you down. What's going to be kind of your strategy coming in from Steven Wonderboy's camp when you're fighting Burns?
Definitely using that in and out footwork that he's so, yeah, good at. You know, he's hard to put your hands on him. You know, he's good at using both stances. He's good at that in and out, the shuffle step. And he's got a 4-inch reach advantage as well. So not only is his footwork really good, he's got the reach advantage on Gilbert. So I think what he needs to do is play that pop-out game, the in and out game, start working on Gilbert's timing. And, yeah, just working on those shots, popping out to that left, popping out to the right, and just changing those angles like he does really good, and looking for those straight punches, those straight kicks, looking for those opportunities. And of course, we know Gilbert's going to try to close the distance. I don't think, even though Gilbert's striking and he's not going to be scared to strike with Steve Wonderboy, I just feel like it's not the best game plan.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to get touched at the end or just let Wonderboy play that dance game and just outpoint you for 5 rounds.
Yeah.
Or no, is this going to be three rounds? Yeah, yeah. So definitely you don't want him to outpoint you since it's a shorter fight.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of move and outpoint you. Even if you feel like he's not landing the hardest shots, like the judges, you know, yeah, they just see him adding up, right? So I think he needs to play that game, not let Gilbert get his hands on him, really work off that back foot, those shuffle steps, and I think that's the key to win.
Yeah, no, I like the strategies from both sides. I think Burns, yeah, close the distance, get in there, grapple with Wonder Boy. He's probably the stronger, yeah, guy. Get him on the fence and work that a little bit. We know Burns should have the advantage there. So this is a definitely interesting fight. I'll kick this one off this time. I'm going to go Stephen Wonderboy Thompson on this one. Since it is a three-round bout, Stephen Wonderboy is looking good. He showed him pre-camp and after camp what his body looked like. He's already a lean guy, but he's got shredded. He's looking like he's in great shape. He's confident. He wants to get a shot at the title again. Coming off a couple wins, Burns is coming off a loss, even though it was to the champ. So I'm going Stephen Wonderboy Thompson by decision. I think he's going to keep him on the outside. He's going to touch him up a little bit. I think there'll be a scary moment where Burns takes him down or lands a big punch. But at the end of the day, I think Wonderboy is going to keep the distance with that range and point him out and get that decision win. Chris, who you got?
I like that pick, but I'm going to go with Gilbert Burns. I think Burns is going to find his way in, and he's going to touch and rock Steven and either end up finishing him on the ground on top with after he rocks him, finish him with ground and pound, or I can see him rocking him and getting to his back and choking him out.
Yeah, I can see the submission. So, officially, are you going TKO or submission?
I'll go TKO.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got Burns by TKO. I got Wonderboy by decision. That's going to be a good matchup.
It's time for the main fight pick of the evening.
All right. For the main event, UFC 264, we got Dustin the Diamond Poirier. We've been talking about this fight a lot. Coming in as the minus 104 underdog, these lines will be shifting against Conor the Notorious McGregor. Coming in as the minus 115 favorite. So this is the trilogy fight, the big feud in the UFC. One of the biggest trilogies of all time. We know 2015, Conor McGregor knocked out Dustin Poirier. Epic fight when Conor McGregor made his rise in the featherweight division. And then after that, at 155, just January this year, Dustin comes back, KOs Conor McGregor. Quick turnaround, a lot of shit talking in between. $500,000 donation goes here. It doesn't. It goes there. They look like they were going to be best friends after the last fight. But after Conor got KO'd, it quickly turned around. Now they got this epic shit talk. Connor's family staying home. Daddy's got to go take a man out, is what he said. He's telling Dustin, don't be a dusty bitch and go for my legs. Trash talk back and forth. And so this is what we wanted to see. This is what we wanted to see in Abu Dhabi. This is the true entertainment. This isn't nice guy comeback. I see that Connor was going to take that different path. And if you beat Dustin at the time, he was going to stay being the good guy, Connor, this and that, which is all good. I get it. He made $180 million last year. He could be the good guy now. But now, after he got KO'd, it's back to the bad guy. And it's back to the shit talk. The press conference is going to be unreal. And this is a trilogy fight for all the marbles. More money, more notoriety. And it looks like this winner is going to become the number one contender at in the lightweight division. So, starting out with Dustin Poirier, coming off a nasty TKO win over Conor. I'm surprised he doesn't talk more trash about that. He's 17-6. Only losses are to the best guys around. Khabib, Michael Johnson, a few guys didn't, and McGregor, like we said, previous fight, and Cub Swanson. So, but he's been on an incredible run, and we know his strategy last time. Those low calf kicks. I love how he feinted the double leg takedown and like let it go. It was just to trick him up. So, starting with Dustin, what do you think? A little bit overview of his last fight, what made him successful, and what strategy is he going to bring into this one?
You know, I think Dustin's just constantly improving, and he's not one of those fighters that just stays stagnant and just wants to work on what they're good at. I think he knows to be a true mixed martial artist, you have to continue to evolve and get better at every aspect of mixed martial arts. Wrestling, boxing, kickboxing, cage work, wall work. You know, there's so much conditioning. There's so much you need to work on. And, you know, I don't think he ever let the fame and money get to him. You know, unlike some, I'm not saying Conor has, but, you know, there's speculation that, you know, the fame and money maybe got to Conor and he got a little lazy with some camps. I'm not saying he did, but, you know, some people thought that. So I'm just saying what I've read in the media.
I would agree with that.
Or whatever.
We can give our opinion. Yeah. I completely agree. When I was there, he was getting chauffeured back and forth in two Rolls Royces.
Yeah.
You know, one for his family, one for him. He came off a yacht to the place. They questioned his training partners because he brought in his old childhood boxing coach. And he looked like a boxer during that fight. The front stance, two legs out in front. Yeah. It wasn't the karate. Not as grungy as he used to be. So I agree with you on that. But go ahead, continue.
Yeah, so I don't think Dustin ever changed, and he's constantly evolving, and he's learning from his mistakes. He learned from that first fight. He's probably watched Connor and broke him down a ton and saw some holes that they can expose. Yeah. And, you know, the coaches that, you know, Poirier trains with, Mike Brown and all his other coaches, they're great and former champions themselves, and they know how to put together, you know, good game plans. And, you know, I would like to see kind of the same kind of game plan coming into this fight, but we all know Connor's probably going to come in differently this fight. I don't think he's going to come in with that boxing stance this time. I think he's going to come in with that shuffle stance, that in and out stance that he normally does. For one, because he doesn't want to get kicked again.
Yeah.
For two, he knows Dustin has at any point in that first round can shoot him for a takedown like he did, remember?
Yep.
And so he's going to work that in and out, for one, not to be planning to get taken down, not to be planning to get that calf kick, and he's going to work his shot. I think he works his shots really good. His range is one of the best in the sport. So him just figuring out Dustin's range, meaning not being a stationary target and getting kicked or getting taken down, he's going to look to, you know, land those straight lefts and work that. That's what I feel.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great breakdown. I think, you know, on Connor's side, that he's going to be moving in and out. He's going to have that karate stance. But on the other side, okay, we have Dustin Poirier coming back in. And all this shit talk, I see Connor trying to mess with Dustin's game plan, right? We all know what Connor wants this to be. He wants it to be a stand in the center of the ring, and he wants to counter with that left hand, right?
Yeah.
And he wants to come forward and pressure you, and he'll take a shot to give that left because he knows it can put a guy away at any moment. And I didn't look like Connor knew that he had Dustin hurt in the previous fight, and Dustin did a great job covering up, and kudos to Dustin being honest that he was hurt, because he could have covered that up as well. But for Dustin, for him coming in, I think he got, if I was his corner and talking to him, I'd say it's the same game plan going in, because, and then you have your backup game plan, right? Because I loved how he shot for a single leg, and he grabbed Connor's leg, and as he's grabbing it and pulled it up, he pulled up the feet, and then he let go and then go back into his stance.
Yeah.
And so he was just doing it to make Connor think about that single leg or think about the feint to the double leg. And they're all saying, you know, Connor's like, don't worry, I'm going to check the leg kicks, and we practice this and that. Okay, you say you're going to check the leg kicks and those calf kicks, but let's see you check them. I hope Dustin comes in there and throws those right again, because Connor likes to stay heavy on his feet because he wants to throw those big, powerful hooks and straights,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is he going to come out in that light karate stance and maybe he's light on his front foot to check the kicks?
So.
I think that's what he's probably going to do. But we all assume that. Let's make him do it and make him check like three or four of them before you stop throwing them and go into a different strategy. Yeah. So on Dustin's side, if you're going in, are you coming in with those leg kicks again? Are you fainting the double legs again? What's going to be Dustin's game plan to get Connor feeling uncomfortable like he did that first fight, the second fight?
For sure. I think he's going to want to feint a little bit more. Maybe not throw them off right off the bat unless he just is really confident and sees it.
Yeah.
Because I think Connor is going to be ready for it in the beginning. So I think the feints, just feigning those low kicks in the beginning, feigning the takedowns, those level changes, and then having Connor get comfortable.
Yeah.
And then start firing them off once those feints start working in the beginning of the round, and then they're going to start paying off in those later rounds. Once he starts biting on those feints, they're like small little deposits.
You know?
Small little here, and you make those cash outs in those later rounds, you know, when those legs start, you know, getting a little bit tired and he's planted and those kicks start landing.
Yeah, I agree. So then in the later rounds, he's going to feint and open up something else.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know this is a 5-round bout, main event. So looking at some props here, it looks like all the money is going towards a KO finish on either side. So a lot of the money is going towards either Dustin repeating and getting a KO finish. Right now it's at plus 195, which is still good money. And on Connor's side, it's plus 125. So they think it's even more likely that Connor gets the KO finish. And what's surprising to me, it's really high by points, plus 650 on Dustin's sides. Plus 850 on Connor's side. I think that's a little bit because we know Connor Gass is in that fourth and fifth round. Hard for him to get a decision win. But what do you think of what I was going to bring up to you, Chris, is because Connor starched Dustin and KO'd him, Connor starched Dustin, yes, and then Dustin KO'd Connor bad, right? He was out. since they both know they each of them have KO power, they had each other's number, we all know it. Do you think they'll be a little bit more hesitant? I could see that it could be more of a little pitter patter on the outside.
Yeah, and
I've seen this happen before where they respect each other so much where the rounds are passing because there's a lot of dead time. And so I like that decision line by points on both sides. Dustin plus 650, Connor plus 850. What's the likelihood of this going to a decision?
I don't think it's very likely. I think both of them
want to finish.
They want to finish, and they're both really good finishers. So when you got two guys that are really good finishers and they know how, I just think it's going to get finished, you know? But I wouldn't be surprised if they both gave one hell of a fight and it was super close and went to decision. Like, give the fans just a five-round war.
Yeah.
You know, because we both know both of those guys are they're up for it. Yeah. They both can put on a five-round war.
Yeah.
And they've both done it before. So I can see that, but I just feel like both of them, it's going to be a finish. Yeah, I'm just feeling it.
I know. The odds for a finish, not finish, are just astronomical. It's lining up for that. All the previous numbers are there. What do you think about this? The other sneaky prop I like is Dustin is plus 750 by sub. He has 7 subs on his record. He's got that Thug Jitsu background. Of course, we know him for his 13 TKOs. But Connor, when he's hurt, he's a little scrappy. He's hurt. He can still throw some punches. And, of course, you know, you're a wrestler now. He shoots for the takedown when he's hurt. We saw him do it on Nate a couple times. We saw him do it on Habib. So he shoots out of desperation, right? Because he's too tired to keep throwing punches. I like that prop at 750. I possibly might go there because I like Dustin hurting Connor and then choking him. And Connor goes for the takedown. I think he's got the advantage on the ground. I could see Dustin then choking him.
And Dustin has a really good guillotine. Yeah. You remember the guillotine he had on Habib?
Yes. Like, I was close.
Yeah, I thought it was going to finish him, but like he didn't. But I think if he gets Connor in that same guillotine, especially if Connor's rocked, it's a done. It's a dunner.
Yeah, so you think you can see Dustin staggering him and getting a team finish?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of ways I can see this fight playing out, right? There's a lot of ways.
Yeah, so now let's come down to it. We see the lines. We see that, you know, the heavy props are by KO on either side. The points are really high, plus money, and same with the subs. But at the end of the day, who are you going with? Your official. We've made this pick about 6 times now throughout the last 2.5 months.
Yeah.
We've gone back and forth a couple times on Method of Victory and who we think. I'm going to let you go first, Chris. Pick your winner in Method of Victory for main event, UFC 264.
I got Dustin Diamond Poirier.
Wow.
I got Dustin. Yeah. Even though I feel like Connor is going to bring a little bit more Connor-esque to this fight, so like he's a little bit more mentally focused, you know, the trash talk, everything. You know, I'm just riding on that Poirier train right now. I feel like he is constantly improving. He doesn't mess around with all the drama and bullshit that some of these other fighters like to do. So I'm calling a second round TKO by Dustin Diamond Poirier.
Wow, a repeat. Okay. Second round TKO. It's a good call. I'm going to go with, on this one, Dustin Poirier. I was going to go against you. I thought you might go McGregor, but I picked McGregor a couple times leading up to this fight. It's tempting to go for that early KO by McGregor. You know he's going to be coming out for it, but I think Dustin's going to be looking for that early TKO. I think they're going to be really weary in that first round, beginning of second, because we know that's where Connor has his most of his power. He's got a ton of first-round KOs, first-round finishes. And you have to be honest, fan of him or not, he's got one of the most deadly left-hand KO strikes we've ever seen, right? But I think it's going to play out. I think the feints are going to add up. I think it's going to be a close fight. But I think you're going to see Dustin get a few takedowns, round 3, round 4. I think he might even stagger him. He might even get staggered, Dustin. Dustin could take a freaking shot. And at the end of the round, at the end of the day, I think Connor's going to be hesitant on some shots, doesn't want to get taken out, stay on the outside, and we're going to see round by round it's going to go by. And at the end of the day, it's going to finish by points, Dustin Poirier. So that I'm going for that plus 650 odds. I think Dustin Poirier gets the win by decision because I think the takedowns, cage control, I think he might even have some ground control is going to add up, and he'll get the official win.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
So official picks for the main event. You're going Dustin Poirier by TKO. I'm going Dustin Poirier by decision. Before we wrap it up here, let's officially put in our parlay of the week as well. Since we're both going Dustin Poirier, let's start it off with Dustin Poirier, straight money line to win the fight. And let's add two more to this. So we can go Dustin and other ones on this card.
We got Sean.
We go Sean. So that's
yeah,
the guarantee.
And then I got Gilbert.
Gilbert. Okay, do it. Gilbert. Ooh, that's a tough one. Gilbert. Yeah, let's go straight on. Well, this is going to be a straight money line parlay. So let's say for our parlay, we're going Dustin Poirier to win, Gilbert Burns to win, and Sean O'Malley to get a KO win.
Yes, sir.
So that'll boost it since he's such a heavy favorite. Mm-hmm. So that's our parlay, those three fights. Thanks, everyone, for watching Fight Picks with the Pros. I hope this helped you a little bit making your picks. Jump over to FanDuel.com to make your official picks. We'll see you guys next time, and look out, UFC 264. We can't wait to watch it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Bruce Buffer here. Thank you for watching the MMA Surge YouTube channel. We hope you enjoyed this video. Don't forget to subscribe and get notified when we upload next.